Okay, it's 10 o'clock, so we'll go ahead and begin. Good morning, and thank you all for coming. This technical conference has discussed the methodology the Postal Service intends to use to set prices for inbound letter posts, small packets, and bulky letters, and inbound competitive registered mail service. This is an off-the-record proceeding, and I encourage you all to participate in the discussion. The agenda for today's meeting includes three items. The Postal Service will address the first two, which regard costing and data. And for the third item, I will briefly summarize the presidential memorandum of August 23rd and then open the floor up to discussion. So now I'm going to turn it over to the Postal Service. I will remind you if you have questions to ask, please speak into the microphone. So raise your hand, we'll bring the microphone to you, because we have a lot of people listening in and they won't be able to hear you. Okay? Sharon?
Oh. One helps, I hear. Oh, that's better. All right, so I'm here to discuss the first item, which is to ensure that the competitive products cover its attributable cost, including how we'll ensure that the resulting rates will cover the attributable cost, and if and or how the Postal Service will differentiate between costs for domestic mail and costs for international mail, such as potential mail preparation, entry, and transportation differences. So the Postal Service now reports costs specifically for inbound international packets. The fiscal year 18 costs would be inflated using commonly used factors and other competitive rate filings. There's no need to differentiate between domestic versus international mail preparation, entry, or transportation differences for costing purposes, since the differences would be captured in our ongoing cost systems and reported in our international CRA. Now, since domestic parcel prices are zoned and vary by distinct weight increments versus the unzoned per piece per kilo international rate structure, we would use a combination of our product tracking system, we call it PTR if I slip into acronyms, for tracked packets, and our sampling estimates for untracked packets to determine the weighted average distance of inbound international packets. Now I can talk briefly about the available data or data sources that the Postal Service may employ in developing the rates and costs for inbound letter posts, small packets, and bulky letters, and inbound competitive registered mail services. So first, the costing information. As I mentioned, it's tracked in our international cost and revenue analysis. So in docket number RM 2018-8 Proposal 5, the Postal Service proposed to replace the previous aggregated development of letter post cost in the ICRA with the development of separate inbound cost based upon the item format for letter and flat-shaped items as one grouping and a second grouping for packet-shaped items. In addition to the ICRA model, changes were made to, one, expand the transportation cost system tracks distribution key to separately identify inbound letter flat and packet shapes. And then two, to expand the mail categories reported in the domestic mail processing model to incorporate the letter flat and packet distinction for air surface from Canada and the rest of the world. And three, expand FPS to accommodate the separate letter flat and packet data. Commission Order Number 4827 approved the proposal, and beginning with the FY18 ICRA, costs are separately developed for inbound letter and flat-shaped versus packet-shaped. The shape distinctions provide a better basis to analyze the impacts of changes in the UPU terminal dues rate structure and the different letter flat-shaped versus packet-shaped characteristics, such as unequal growth rates. All right, the second data system that we would use is to compute a weighted average distance. We're looking at the mail characteristics of inbound packets. One of the characteristics is how far the inbound packets travel within the U.S., which we measure between the receiving exchange office and the delivery point 3-digit zip code. We apply the distance in miles between the airport associated with the destination zip code and then divide by the total number of items received. The data for the origin destination pairs come from a combination of our product tracking system for tracked packets and our sampling estimates for untracked packets. The census data and the sampling estimates are combined to determine the number of items per origin and destination pair. For the tracked packets, the data is from our product tracking system that captures the item barcode on the tracked packets and the event zip codes. The source is the ISC zip code. The source of the ISC zip code is any arrival scan event, which could be a global business system receipt receptacle scan. The barcode items are nested to the receptacle barcode, or any scan event on the machines at the ISC. The source of the delivery point zip code is a zip code associated with the MDCD or the IMD scanner, our scanners, used for the stop-the-clock events at delivery or attempted delivery. If there's no stop-the-clock event, then the zip code associated with the arrival scan at the destination delivery unit. If this fails, the system looks for the destination zip code associated with the manifest on the label. For the untracked package, the data is from a sampling is from sample estimates from our system for international revenue and volume, inbound. We call it Survey, our Survey system. As part of the ongoing sampling process, inbound letter post receptacles are randomly selected by our GBS receipt system for sampling by strata. Each strata is defined as a unique combination of origin country, U.S. exchange office, quarter and year, mail category like air, ISL, surface, class and subclass, and receptacle type. Data collectors at the exchange offices record the receptacle's total number of items and weight by item format, as well as the item's three-digit destination zip code for a subsample of each format. The subsampled items are then expanded to the receptacle's total number of items by item format. The sample data from the receptacle is combined with similar samples and then expanded by the dispatch format weight for the strata. For example, all sampled air letter post format e-bags from Canada to JFK sent during quarter one of 2019 will be expanded to all of Air Canada's air letter post format e dispatch weight sent to JFK during quarter one of 2019. The distance miles is determined by associating the three-digit zip code to an airport code and then applying known distances between airport codes. The distance is then multiplied by the number of items by origin destination pairs obtained from PTR and estimates. The total calculated miles is then divided by the total number of items to determine the average weight distance. And that's how we would do it. So, Margaret, those are how the Postal Service intends to ensure that the international rates would cover the cost and the data systems we would use, one of which is on the record, the ICRA, its approved methodology, and the second is that very detailed explanation of a new data set that we would use to calculate the weighted distance traveled.
Thank you, Sharon. Does anyone have any questions for Sharon regarding the costs or the data that they would use?
Hi, Kate Muth with the International Mail Advisory Group. And I'm sorry if this is coming next, but do you have a sense of how much of inbound packets travel by surface and travel by air? I mean, that's kind of the sense of where the cost would be.
Okay, so the air versus surface cost?
Domestically, once they're here, of course.
Yes, sure. That would be captured in our international CRA. We report cost by cost segment, and we differentiate between air and surface transportation. So that is known for each fiscal year. Well, especially for by packets in fiscal year 18.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, I guess we'll go on to agenda item 3 then. Okay, so is that working? Okay, so the presidential memorandum of August 23rd, 2018 laid out some policy issues and then some specific direction for the self-declared rates. And so what I'm going to summarize the policy issues and then go over the specific requirements and then open it up to the floor to discuss how the Postal Service, ideas for how the Postal Service can meet these requirements. So the first policy issue was the policy of the United States to promote and encourage the development of an efficient and competitive global system that provides for fair and non-discriminatory postal rates. It's also in the interest of the United States to promote and encourage unrestricted and undistorted competition in the provision of international postal services and other international delivery services, except where provision of such services by private companies may be prohibited by the laws of the United States. Further, it shall be the policy of the executive branch to support efforts that further the policies in this memorandum, including supporting a system of unrestricted and undistorted competition between United States and foreign merchants. Such efforts include ensuring that rates charged for delivery of foreign or origin mail containing goods do not favor foreign mailers over domestic mailers, setting rates charged for delivery of foreign origin mail in a manner that does not favor postal operators over non-postal operators, and ensuring the collection of advanced electronic customs data. So the U.S. must seek reforms to the UPU that promote the policies outlined in this memorandum. Such reforms shall provide for a system of fair and non-discriminatory rates for goods that promotes unrestricted and undistorted competition. I'm starting to get a theme here. And the terminal dues rates that fully reimburse the USPS for costs to the same extent as domestic rates for comparable services. Avoid a preference for inbound foreign mail packages containing goods that favor foreign mailers over domestic mailers. And avoid a preference for inbound foreign mail packages containing goods that favor postal operators over private sector entities providing transportation services. So now I'm going to open up to the floor for discussion, and I think we'll start with 2B. We had some discussion earlier about the cost, and we might circle back on that, but we'll start with 2B. So are there any thoughts on how the Postal Service could go about designing rates that avoid a preference for inbound foreign mail packages containing goods that favor foreign mailers over domestic mailers? Okay, but now you're in charge of passing the baton.
All right. So my name is Jim Campbell, and I'm a consultant on some of these issues. I just wanted to ask the Postal Service, conceptually, how they plan to meet this criteria. It's a simple question.
Hi, my name is Keith Widener. I'm Deputy General Counsel for Headquarter Operations. And as we laid out in our filing last week, we're here to receive public input on these issues. Our internal deliberations around self-declared rates are ongoing. We're working hard, and we're also consulting with executive branch stakeholders on these issues. But we're not prepared to engage in a public discussion of those issues simply because we have not presented them to our governors. Our governors have the statutory responsibility to set rates for competitive products. But we are here not only to present the data issues of the first two agenda items, but to get the input from all stakeholders around what you would like to see as we continue to move forward with designing self-declared rates.
So I guess one of the questions around this could be, or one of the discussion points could be, what steps people think the Postal Service should take in order to ensure that they don't favor foreign over domestic mailers. Is anyone prepared to discuss what steps they think should be taken or not taken?
Sorry. are you going to keep talking?
Go ahead. You're doing
it. Kate Muth again from IMAG. I just want to raise a few points if I have the floor here. First of all, thank you for holding this. Even though not a lot can be discussed, I think it's important to get this on the radar screen for the larger mailing community. Those of us in the international community know what a big deal this is, but I don't know that it's resonated throughout the larger mailing community. So thank you. Secondly, I just want to note that this uncertainty around not knowing what the rate's going to be, not knowing if we'll have access to an international network, or if we do, at what cost, is making it very difficult for international mailers and shippers to plan, especially on the export side, which is where a number of my members are operate. And we are concerned about what the rate will be on the inbound side, because what we set as a self-declared rate, there will certainly be reciprocity from the foreign post. So that's the first point. If we recall back when we were talking about the domestic rate setting process, and I know that's still ongoing, one of the things when we were trying to pass postal reform was the importance of annual and predictable rate increases. And at the moment now, the members are planning for 4 or 5 different contingency plans at great cost and effort to them. So I just wanted to put that on the record. The sooner we have some definitive answers, the better. Secondly, we certainly don't think it should be a retail rate, and I believe the president's, one of his chief economic advisors, has said that in an article in the Financial Times, that it should not be a retail rate. That doesn't make sense, because the origin post does carry some of those costs. And then we're having a hard time kind of knowing what the rate will look like given the zoning in the domestic and the added zone rates for first-class mail parcels. So just that's kind of what I wanted to put out there, is the importance of being transparent, being as soon as possible, and engaging all of us in the process. Thank you.
Hi, Mike Plunkett from Postcom. And Kate covered much of what I was going to ask about, but are you in a position to share anything about timing? I realize the governors have to authorize or approve any rates that you develop. Can you talk about where you are in that process and when we might expect to see something filed with the commission?
I can't give specifics. I mean, as we said in our filing last week, we do plan to, we have been working hard to internally to design self-declared rates. We moved very quickly to file a transfer proceeding soon after the president announced the withdrawal of the United States from the UPU, or provided notice of our potential withdrawal from the UPU. We filed that in November. We asked for expedition. The commission did expedite the case. They issued the decision in mid-January. We've been continuing to work with executive branch stakeholders. We do have, we have been obviously doing work internally. We plan to present that to the governors in relatively short order. I mean, we are extremely cognizant of the need to make sure that we can get through governors, get through the commission, so that we can implement self-declared rates on time. But beyond that, I can't really give specifics about actual dates.
Okay, John Manzolillo from the CEP Group. From past experience, the Postal Service has worked with the designated or national postal operators to do a commercial entry. And this was piloted back in the 1990s with Canada Post through JFK. It might be worthwhile for the Postal Service to look at establishing an additional to a retail rate for to do a pre- a work share engagement with the foreign post as well. And obviously it would be a discounted rate, but the concept would be the same with domestic work share, where there's enough cost taken out of the operating environment that you might be able to even improve a margin and still maintain flows. And then thirdly, I know the Postal Service currently runs a commercial inbound direct entry operation with private consolidators overseas. So this is more of a general question and a thought looking forward. Do you see this impacting any of the rate structure that you're proposing to go forward with? Thank you.
I think we're considering a variety of options around rate design. I don't think I can get into more detail than that. I mean, certainly we are presenting to the governors a wide array of considerations for them to consider.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any other people that would like?
Hi, Jim Bruce from UPS. Just as kind of a common sense first cut at this, if you want to avoid discrimination, it seems to me you would make the same rates available to private carriers. And that would, and if there are discounts to be had, make sure they're verified discounts.
Okay. With that, we jump to the next question. And so if we're done with the discussion on non-discriminatory rates between foreign and domestic, the next question is what steps the Postal Service should take to ensure that prices charged for delivery of inbound letter post, mail packets, and bulky letters do not favor designated operators over non-designated operators. And so do we have any thoughts on that other than the one that was just offered up?
Just a sort of a general question. What happens to the service obligation going forward? Does anybody have a sense of that? If we're not part of the UPU, if we're in, there's still going to be a universal service obligation.
I think it's a legal question we're not really prepared to discuss at this point in time.
Okay. Are there any further thoughts on that? Okay. I'm going to circle back then on the idea of the costs. And one of the questions is, for self-declared terminal dues to fully reimburse the Postal Service for costs to the same extent as domestic mailers for comparable services, what's the thinking behind the cost coverage? Should the cost coverage be the same? Does it need to be the same? Can it vary? Any thoughts on that? Okay. Is there any other general discussion questions or ideas or discussion points that we haven't hit that anyone would like to discuss? All right. With that, I guess we will conclude this technical conference, and we look forward to furthering the mission here. So thank you all for coming, and thank you all for joining online. And thank you, Sharon, for presenting.